Captain's log, stardate 45429.3. While on a mapping survey, we are conveying a delegation of Yulians to Caldra 4. These telepathic historians conduct their research by retrieving long-forgotten memories.
It's a chipped cup, off-white, with a crack in it. I can see it, but I don't remember anything else about it.
When you see it, do you hear any sounds?
No, I don't think so. Wait. Yes, humming. Someone's humming.
A woman?
Yes, but I don't know who it is.
Try to touch the cup.
Oh, it has a sharp edge where it's chipped.
Is there anything inside the cup?
She reaches both hands gently towards the invisible vessel.
A liquid? Dark?
Like tea?
It's not hot. It's bitter.
There's something else inside the cup.
Yes, a wooden handle.
A spoon?
No, it's more delicate than that.
Reach out for it.
Child's hands reach out.
A brush. An ink brush. I hear that humming again.
Keep listening to it. And hold out the brush. See if anyone takes it from you.
Ancient fingers reach for the brush.
It's Oba-chan. My grandmother. She's doing ink brush writing. I can remember it now. She used that cup for cleaning the brushes, and it was my job to fill a cup with water and bring it to the table. I would sit beside her and watch the most beautiful characters come from that brush, and the whole time she'd be humming to herself. I remember it like it was yesterday.
That is remarkable. You remembered such vivid details.
For years, I've seen that old cup in my memory, but I could never remember what it was or why it was important. Thank you.
Well, you're entirely welcome, young lady. Perhaps someone else would care to try? You, madam. You're thinking about that first childhood kiss. Would you like to remember more about it?
Father, you know you're not supposed to probe someone's memory unless they've given you permission.
You are right. But sometimes, with a beautiful woman, I cannot help myself.
How about you, Commander? Got any memories you feel like digging up?
None that I'd care to share with an audience.
It's getting late. I better be going.
The younger Yulian, Jev, is left alone in 10 Forward. His face inscrutable, his eyes betray deep thoughts. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Violations, voiced by Roland Behan. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. Engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. The Enterprise slips through deep space.
It is perplexing to me that the Ulian's ability to retrieve memory is so highly prized. If an event were important enough to be recovered, why would it have been forgotten?
Well, it's not quite the same for us as it is for you, Data. You record every second of every moment of your life.
That is correct.
And then if you want to recall any one of those moments, you just access the proper memory circuit.
My understanding of the human brain suggests the process is the same for you. Each memory is encoded in chains of molecules. If you want to retrieve it, you simply access the proper RNA sequence.
Yeah, that's true.
Then in what way is it different?
Sometimes there are memories we just can't access at the spur of the moment. For instance, I have no recollection of how I spent my last birthday. Birthdays are important occasions, and you would think that I'd remember how I spent the day, but right now, I can't even remember where I was. Take two. On the other hand, I remember everything about the time I got my first pet, a Circassian cat. I was 8. I remember how funny looking he was. I remember how excited I was. It was as if it happened yesterday.
Perhaps you remember the pleasant memories and forget the unpleasant ones.
No, sometimes the bad memories can be the most intense of all.
It would seem there is no predictable pattern to human memory.
It would seem.
Geordi and Data exit the turbo lift. Picard is entertaining his guests.
This library of ours has been in the planning stages for years. A collection of the retrieved memories of races from many different star systems.
What my son means to say is, we think of ourselves as archaeologists of the mind. We believe that the history of a world is contained in the personal experience of its people.
Rather like the ancient oral historians of Earth.
Exactly. The library we propose will be a vast storehouse of these individual memories.
That sounds like quite a project. How long will it take to finish your studies on Caldra?
Many months. We've been working for years, and we've surveyed only 11 planets in 8 star systems.
But it's our way of life. We wouldn't want to do anything else.
Captain, Mr. Tarman gave us a demonstration of his abilities this afternoon. It's fascinating. Perhaps you would like to resurrect some memories.
I'd be happy to probe your recollections, Captain. Most people find it an enjoyable experience.
I'm sure. However, I don't think I would make a particularly good subject.
I'm sure you'd be ideal, and you must have some intriguing memories.
We won't be on your ship for long. This may be your last chance.
Yes. Well.
Tarman, we mustn't influence people. We must let them come to us willingly.
I have found over the years there are many who want the experience of memory retrieval, but who lack some encouragement in order to come forward. But you, Mr. Worf, I would love to explore Klingon memories.
Klingons do not allow themselves to be probed.
But there is nothing to fear.
Father.
I am not fearful.
Well, Commander LaForge, you.
I don't think so. Thanks anyway.
I have rarely encountered such squeamish people. Dr. Crusher, Commander Riker.
Mr. Tarman, are all Ulians able to read memories?
Oh, no, my dear. The technique requires special training. It is a serious commitment.
It takes years of study. Tarman is the most proficient of our group.
Once Jev spent 2 days with a contingent of elderly Gentons. He couldn't get anything from them.
I spent only 1 hour with them and retrieved a fragment from the Gentonian trade wars.
Excuse me.
Jev, clearly upset, leaves the table.
Exactly how long will it be before we get to Caldra, Captain?
Mr. Data.
4 days, 11 hours.
Concerned, Troy joins Jev in the corridor.
Jev?
I'm sorry, I'm being rude.
No, not at all.
My father finds it amusing to demean me in public. I reached the point where I don't want to hear anymore.
It's not easy having an overbearing parent. Believe me, I know how you feel.
Oh, that's right. You're an empath.
Oh, I can't read Ulians. But I do know a certain Betazoid mother who is a great deal like your father.
Smiling, they enter the turbo lift.
Deck 8.
Deck 16.
I've learned to remind myself that my mother and I are two separate individuals.
Mm-hmm. And have you enjoyed much success with this approach, Counselor?
No. But I do keep reminding myself. Good night.
Good night, Counselor, and thank you.
As Deanna leaves, Jev's gaze hardens, his smile fades. Troy's quarters. Deanna, in nightwear, approaches her mirror. She takes her brush and begins to work on her dark hair. She starts. A vision of falling metal objects. She resumes brushing. She starts again.
Stop thinking about us.
A familiar voice, a hand on her hair. Puzzled, she looks around. There is no one there. She goes to her food synthesizer.
Hot chocolate.
The cup of comforting brown liquid appears. She takes it. Suddenly, she frowns. A vision of herself being pushed to the floor. A sudden, vivid picture. A table, herself, Will Riker. She drops the tokens from a game they've been playing. It's Riker lowering her gently to the floor. It all unfolds before her as she sits frozen.
We can't. Not when we're serving on the same ship.
Have you stopped thinking about us? Just answer that.
Again, the dropped tokens. Riker's face close to hers.
I can't stop thinking about you.
Zadi, we can't. Not when we're serving on the same ship.
Have you stopped thinking about her?
Riker kisses her tenderly. She pushes him away.
We mustn't do this. Will, don't. Will?
Him, Zadi. Have you stopped thinking about us? Just answer that.
Him, Zadi.
Will is gone, replaced by Jev. Troy lies unconscious at the foot of the bed. She is alone. The cup of cocoa lies where it fell beside her.
Captain's log, stardate 45430.9. Counselor Troy has fallen into a deep coma. After a thorough examination, Dr. Crusher has been unable to find signs of illness or infection.
Any change, Dr. Martin?
No. I'm still getting unusual neurotransmitter readings in the diencephalon, but they might be a result of a coma.
Can you bring her out of it?
I've tried standard revival techniques. She doesn't respond. Until I find out what's caused this, I don't want to try anything more extreme.
Do you know what she was doing when this happened?
No. She was found in her quarters this morning when she didn't show up for an appointment. She was dressed for bed, but the bed hadn't been slept in.
Who was the last person to speak with her? She left the dinner last night with one of the Yulians. I'll talk to him. Ask if they would consent to an examination, just to be certain.
I'll check the biofilter readings from the Yulian transporter log. It's possible they could still be carrying a harmful organism.
Picard nods his assent. Crusher leaves with a tight smile. Troy lies in sickbay, quite motionless, apart from the regular rise and fall of her breathing. Riker, tight-lipped, enters 10 forward and approaches Jev, sitting at a table.
May I join you?
Commander, of course. Something's wrong?
Counselor Troy's ill.
I'm sorry to hear it.
She's more than ill. She's in a coma. Dr. Crusher doesn't know what's causing it or how to treat her.
When did this happen?
Apparently sometime last night. That's why I wanted to talk to you. You may have been the last person to see her. Did you go with her into her quarters?
Are you suggesting that I behaved improperly, Commander?
Not at all. I'm just trying to trace her steps.
We talked in a turbo lift briefly. She got out at deck 8. I did not go with her.
Jev, I'm not accusing you of anything. Did she mention feeling ill?
She seemed fine. She has a wonderful sense of humor.
Riker gathers himself, his eyes never leaving Jev.
If you have no objections, Dr. Crusher would like to examine you and your group.
To what end?
She's just trying to eliminate the possibility that one of you might be carrying an organism that was harmful to Deanna. I'm not implying that you did anything intentional. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of the mystery.
We have nothing to hide. If you wish to spend time examining us.
Fine, thank you.
As Riker makes an abrupt exit, Jev's inscrutable gaze bores into his retreating figure. The Enterprise looms into view, steady on her course. In sickbay, Riker keeps vigil over the comatose Troy.
Deanna, I don't know if you can hear me. I've heard doctors say that even when someone's in a coma, they may be able to hear when people talk to them. That it might help stimulate the brain, speed healing. In fact, I think you did that for me once, when I was in pretty bad shape. I just thought it might help to hear a friendly voice, even if you don't know you're hearing it. We've been busy mapping the sector. It's been pretty routine. The most unusual thing we've seen is a binary star system.
Let's see, what else?
I finished the personnel review that we were working on. You can check it out when you wake up.
Almost overcome, he moves his face close to hers.
I miss you. Please don't stay away too long.
There is no response. Deanna remains quite still.
Will, I promise I'll let you know the minute she regains consciousness.
I know.
There's nothing you can do here. You'll wear yourself out.
Right.
It's late. Go to bed. That's an order.
Knowing the doctor is right, Riker takes a lingering look at Deanna and leaves. A worried Crusher is left alone with her patient. Aboard the Enterprise, holding course for the Ulian homeworld, Riker works in his quarters. He looks up suddenly from his handheld console. He sees LaForge in engineering issuing urgent orders. He doesn't believe his eyes. There is smoke. Crew members running in panic, a bulkhead closing. He frowns as memory stirs. A vivid memory.
Antibody status breach. Evacuate immediately.
Keller, can you get to a Jeffries too? Ensign Keller, answer me! You killed her. Keller is still in there!
Commander! Radiation levels are critical. We've got to seal it off.
She was right behind me. Ring down the door!
The fateful decision to save one life or many. The pressure to make the right decision. Suddenly, Jev's face.
Keller is still in there.
Keller is still in there!
You killed her.
Ensign Keller, answer me!
You killed her.
I've got to get that isolation door down.
Keller is still in there!
Bring down the door!
You killed her.
You killed her.
Killed her.
As confusion turns to desperation, the vision fades, and Riker slumps over his desk.
Bridge to Commander Riker. Picard to Commander Riker. Answer, please. Computer, locate Commander Riker.
Commander Riker is in his quarters.
On my way, sir.
As Worf strides from the bridge, concern is etched on Picard's face. Worf enters Riker's quarters and spies the unconscious figure at the desk.
Medical log, stardate 45431.7. Commander Riker is the second officer who has fallen into an unexplained coma. I have examined the Ulians and ruled out the possibility that they carry a harmful organism. I compared Deanna's brain scan to the one that I took during her last physical. There is a difference. This time there's a trace of electropathic activity.
And Commander Riker?
I found the same pattern. If I didn't know better, I'd say they both had Irisine syndrome. That's the only medical condition that would produce that pattern.
What is Irisine syndrome?
A very rare neurological disorder, first diagnosed in the 23rd century. It's characterized by an identical electropathic residue.
Why discount the possibility that it's responsible for these comas?
Irisine is always accompanied by a severely decreased histamine count. Both Will and Deanna showed normal levels. I've asked Commander LaForge to conduct a shipwide diagnostic to determine any other agent that might cause the same electropathic pattern.
Commander Riker and Counselor Troy were in perfect health until the Yulians arrived. It would be wise to quarantine the aliens.
I believe that it would be premature to take that action, Mr. Worf. There's no real evidence linking these comas with the Yulians.
That's true, but there is something curious. The electropathic residue I discovered is located in the thalamus. That's the area of the cerebral cortex that involves memory function.
Picard's frown deepens.
I've been accused of putting people to sleep with one too many stories, Captain. But this is the first time it's ever been suggested that I might be the cause of someone's coma.
I mean no disrespect, but we are faced with an alarming situation.
Why do you suspect us, Captain?
Suspect is perhaps too strong a word. I'm simply trying to determine what has caused two of my officers to fall into comas.
But you've already examined us. We aren't carrying anything harmful.
In further study of the victims, I detected some abnormal patterns in the area of the brain that involves memory.
And in the light of your telepathic abilities, it raises the question.
Captain, it is not our wish to obstruct you. What would you like?
If I could do some further examinations tomorrow, perhaps monitor you during a memory probe.
Scrutiny does not frighten us.
We will be happy to cooperate, Doctor.
Thank you. I'll contact you in the morning.
As they take their leave, Jev's smile freezes.
Since you're the only person on board to undergo a memory probe by the Yulians, I'd like to do a neurological workup and see if I can detect any residual effect. Dr. Martin will monitor your vital signs while I conduct the scan.
I'm happy to help.
Have you noticed any unusual symptoms since the probe? Headaches, dizziness?
No, nothing like that. It was a wonderful experience.
Electrical activity is normal. CPK levels are normal. Hippocampus is stable. And the thalamus is normal. There is no indication at all of any electropathic residual.
Is that good?
Oh, you're fine, Keiko. But I am no closer to solving this mystery.
Computer, locate the electropathic pattern described in medical database 4 Delta 1.
Electropathic pattern located.
Okay, we're going to track down any possible cause of that brain pattern. First, what are the medical conditions that might account for it?
Irisine syndrome is a cause of the electropathic pattern.
Right, and Dr. Crusher already eliminated that. So how many non-medical forces or substances might cause the pattern?
There are 22 non-medical agents.
Okay, and how many of those are present on the Enterprise?
None are present on the Enterprise.
Are the ship's sensors calibrated to detect all those agents?
All agents are scanned by the sensors.
Now he's puzzled.
Okay. Let's start with the chemical substances. Name them.
Ferrazine, hyalantine, dardylion, chrysomite, and manzine.
Ferrazine has a complex molecular structure. It breaks down into bilinium and pterosite. Do the sensors scan for those?
Ship sensors scan for both compounds.
And are they present on the Enterprise?
Bilinium and pterosite are not present.
Do any of the substances break down into byproducts that are not scanned for?
Dardylion contains the byproduct nilazine. Sensors do not routinely scan for that substance.
Well, this isn't a routine situation. Scan for the nilazine.
There is no nilazine on the Enterprise.
How did I know you were gonna say that? Okay, let's move on to the non-chemical agents.
As Geordi settles himself to a long search, Dr. Crusher is analyzing her own data.
Anything more I can do for you?
No, thanks. I was just doing some reading on the Irisine syndrome. If a new strain has developed, that might explain the normal histamine counts.
Any luck?
Not so far.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
With a smile, the Doctor settles back to her task. Suddenly, she sees a clear vision of Picard.
You shouldn't remember him like this.
Her shrouded body lies on a table. Picard is with her.
You don't have to do this. You know this.
It's important to me. I have to see him.
Her memory awakens. A corridor. She and Picard walking solemnly side by side.
It's good of you to come.
It's the least I can do.
They enter the chill of the morgue.
You shouldn't remember him like this. Like this.
I have to face the fact that he's gone.
Wide-eyed, Crusher is transfixed by the vision.
You shouldn't remember him like this.
It's good of you to come with me.
It's the least I can do.
Suddenly, Jev's face replaces the captain's.
You shouldn't remember him like this.
Picard's face and her own.
It's the least I can do.
But Jev's voice. The blanket is pulled back, revealing the body beneath. Eyes flash open. Jev's eyes.
I've spent 2 hours having a cozy little chat with the computer. I've checked everything I could think of. Any possible agent that might cause that electropathic pattern.
I assume from your tone of voice you were unsuccessful.
Didn't find a thing. Dr. Crusher's not going to be too happy with...
They see the unconscious doctor.
Emergency medical team to Dr. Crusher's office immediately.
As Data and LaForge attend the unconscious doctor, the Enterprise maintains her course.
Dr. Crusher had me working on a ship-wide diagnostic. I'd gone to give her the results when I found her.
Did your scans provide any insights into these comas?
None. I've checked and cross-checked. They're just dead ends.
We seem to have eliminated all of the known factors which may have caused the comas, except for the Ulians.
Mr. Data, I want you to investigate those 11 planets that the Ulians visited. See if there were any reports of unexplained comas.
Aye, sir.
In the meantime, we must consider restricting them to their quarters as a precautionary measure.
If one of them is behind this, will keeping telepaths in their quarters prevent it from happening again?
What else can we do? Station a guard? Set up a force field? I don't see that those will be any more effective.
Sick Bay to Captain Picard.
Picard here.
Counselor Troy has regained consciousness. She's asked for you, sir.
I'm on my way.
LaForge and Data follow Picard.
It's like waking up from a nightmare and not remembering what it was about.
What is the last thing you do remember?
My hair. I was brushing my hair.
And then?
I don't know. Just waking up here. Why do I feel so frightened? What happened to me?
We were hoping that you could tell us.
How long have I been here?
3 days.
3 days?
You were the first. The next day, Commander Riker fell into a similar coma. Last night, Dr. Crusher.
What is going on here?
We're not certain. It may be that there is some unusual effect produced by the Ulians' telepathic activity. I'm going to talk to them, and in the meantime, you are to stay here and recuperate. But if you remember anything at all about what happened, I want you to tell me immediately.
Too worried for smiles, Picard leaves to confront his telepath guests.
What are you suggesting, Captain?
That you voluntarily confine yourself to your quarters, at least until we have unraveled this mystery.
We're to be prisoners?
Father. No, please don't look on it like that. We have done everything we can to explain these comas. We have performed physical examinations, neurological scans. We have conducted a ship-wide diagnostic looking for viruses, parasites, infestations. We have investigated every possible cause we could imagine, and we have found nothing. Nothing to explain these comas. The only variable that we have not been able to eliminate is your presence here on this ship. Now, in the light of our actions, we would ask you to understand my request and to agree to it.
Captain, our history indicates that we do not adversely affect the people we contact.
I know that.
Then, are you implying an intentional assault?
I'm simply considering all possibilities.
Surely you would give us the chance to prove that we're innocent.
If that's possible, of course.
Well, then I would propose doing a memory probe of Counselor Troy. You have said that she doesn't remember anything that happened before she lapsed into unconsciousness. I could retrieve that memory. There is a possibility that it could explain the coma and prove our innocence.
I'm sorry, I couldn't possibly subject Counselor Troy to a potentially dangerous procedure.
And I refuse to be a party to any of these proceedings.
Jeb is making a reasonable request, Captain. If we're to be accused, surely we're entitled to a defense. Tarman did a memory probe on another of your crew. Has she suffered any ill effects?
No.
And neither were Counselor Troy. Please, you may have as many people there as you need to guarantee her safety, but give us this chance to vindicate ourselves.
Picard considers Inad's request very carefully.
I will discuss the matter with Counselor Troy.
As the captain takes his leave, a wry smile plays over Jev's features.
Well, that's it for Melina, too. No one explained comas during the time the Yulians were working there.
We've yet to receive transmission from the two planets of the Nell system. Perhaps they will show different results.
Maybe. Maybe we're not checking for the right thing.
Please clarify.
We haven't looked into the comas that were explained.
Why would we do that?
Well, remember what Dr. Crusher said right after Counselor Troy became unconscious, that it looked exactly like irisine syndrome except for the histamine count?
Yes.
Well, maybe not every medical facility is as careful as Dr. Crusher. Maybe it's easier to just make a quick diagnosis rather than keep hunting for the real cause.
You were searching for instances of irisine syndrome.
Right. And correlating them with the visits by the Yulians, and there we are.
Two cases of irisine syndrome on Hirata 3, at exactly the time Tarman and his group were there.
Let's check the other planets. I think we may have something here.
They return to their task.
Counselor, I want to reiterate, if you have any doubts whatsoever about this procedure, you don't have to go through with it.
I want to do it, Captain. Something awful happened to me, and I don't even know what it was.
Very well.
Counselor, what's the last thing you remember about the other night?
Brushing my hair.
Would you get your hairbrush?
Deanna goes to retrieve the brush. Worf, Picard, and the Yulians wait nervously as she returns.
Tell me about brushing your hair. Do you do it every night?
Yes, when I'm ready for bed.
Jev places his fingers to his right temple and closes his eyes to begin the scan. Troy's eyes close.
What is it?
Someone's touching my hair.
Someone's with you in the room?
No. No, I'm alone. There's no one there.
Go on.
I get some hot chocolate.
Something's happening.
I'm alone in my quarters. I'm remembering something from a few years ago.
Go back into that memory. You said someone was touching your hair?
Yes. And it's Will Riker. That's right, I was thinking of him.
Remembering a time when you were with him?
Yes. After a poker game.
It's a pleasant memory. Stay with it.
Now he's hurting me.
You're frightened.
I want him to stop. It's not Will. Somebody's taken his place.
Someone else is there. Who is it?
No. He shouldn't be here. Why is he here? Stop. You're hurting me.
Can you see his face?
Yes. No, stop! You're hurting me!
Who is it? Who is doing this to you?
She snaps awake. She can't...
It's Tarmac. It's your father.
Inad stares in shock. Picard places a comforting hand on Deanna's shoulder as Jev blinks in apparent disbelief and hangs his head.
Captain's log, stardate 45433.2. We have set a course for Starbase 440, where the Yulians will disembark and return home.
Inad and I have contacted our home planet. If you want to prosecute my father, the authorities there will support you.
I'm not sure we have any legal basis for such a prosecution. Memory invasion is simply not a crime that we've ever had to contend with.
According to what I've just learned, it's a practice that was abolished on our world centuries ago.
What could motivate someone like your father to commit such an act?
I don't know. A perverse source of pleasure, perhaps? A way to exercise control over another?
Your father claims, quite strenuously, that he's innocent.
My father has never been one to admit that he's wrong. But it is difficult to believe he'd be capable of this. I am told that the punishment for this crime is quite severe.
Jev's head hangs in sorrow as he makes to...
We are monitoring my father's telepathic activities. You have my assurance he won't assault anyone else. I am sorry for this, Captain.
Picard, Commander Data.
Yes, Captain.
How's your search coming?
We have uncovered several cases, sir, but we have not yet completed our investigation.
We'll inform the medical personnel on those planets that we have discovered the true nature of the comas. I'm sure they'll appreciate knowing what really happened.
Yes, sir. We will keep searching, sir.
We just got the transmission from the Nell system, Data. No mention of Irisine syndrome, but there are two unexplained comas on one planet, none on the other.
And were the Yulians present?
Checking the mission logs. That's funny. On stardates 45321 and 45323, when the comas occurred, Tarmac was on his home planet. He wasn't anywhere near the Nell system.
Data's brow furrows.
Come in. Hello, Jeff.
We'll be reaching Starbase soon. I wanted to say goodbye and to apologize again for my father.
There's no need. You're not responsible for what he did.
Before all this happened, I had hoped we might become friends.
We still can.
After what he's put you through, maybe you can forget. I'm not sure I can.
Jev stares into Deanna's eyes. He reaches to caress her cheek.
You're so lovely. I have to go. Goodbye.
Jev, you're upset. Would you like to talk?
No.
You'd feel better if you did.
He is clearly deeply troubled.
Why do you have to be so nice? So... so lovely.
Jev's fingers move to his temple to begin a mind scan. Again, the falling tokens. Deanna's eyes widen in fear.
What's happening? Happening again.
You're so beautiful. So fragile.
Jev snatches her communicator and grabs her wrist. Deanna lashes out with hands and feet.
No!
The door opens. Worf fells Jev with a single blow.
Counselor. Are you all right?
Yes.
The pathetic figure of Jev is led away by two of Worf's security staff. Troy looks from Worf to Data.
Why are you here? How did you know?
We discovered two instances of unexplained coma on Nell 3 while the Yulians were there. But Tarman was not part of the group. A further examination revealed that there was only one Yulian present for all incidents of coma. Jeff.
Troy, still stunned, is unable to speak.
Captain's log, stardate 45435.8. Dr. Crusher and Commander Riker regained consciousness while we were en route to the Yulian homeworld. The slow process of their recovery has begun.
I have asked that the finest physicians on my world meet with you all upon our return to help you in your healing process.
They've been in contact with us already. Thank you.
It's been 3 centuries since we treated anyone for this, but there are medical records from that era. It was a time of great violence for my people, a time we thought we had put far behind us. That this could happen now, it's unimaginable.
Earth was once a violent planet, too. At times, the chaos threatened the very fabric of life, but like you, we evolved. We found better ways to handle our conflicts. But I think no one can deny that the seed of violence remains within each of us. We must recognize that, because that violence is capable of consuming each of us, as it consumed your son.
Tarmin, his eyes moist, hangs his head in shame and sorrow. The end.